And now, without further ado, I want to express my gratitude to Rabbi Ephraim Eliyahu Shapiro, who joined us for Shabbos, and invite him to the Fertimol to inspire us. Thank you.
First of all, a good tovach to everyone. It should be a gebenchte gesund tovach, especially as next week we already start Chanukah and we begin lighting the menorah. We should be zeichet to witness the lighting of the menorah in the bayis shlishi b'mheirim b'yameinu.
Amen.
Of course, as I had the privilege the entire Shabbos to begin, Bereshus Moireinu Harav, the Maradaser Shlita, and Bereshus the entire very, very Choshev Kehila, I just want to take a moment personally to wish a mazel tov to the Rav and Rebbetzin on tonight's Siyum, to all of the Meshtatim, all of the participants, and to the entire Kehila. Ashreichem, Ashreichem. Ashrei Chelkecha. I don't think I could ever say that enough. To this entire Kehillah, Ashreichem and Ashreichem, that you're zeichet to be led every moment of your lives by the Rav and Rebbetzin. Firstly, please never take that for granted. And secondly, you should be zeichet to continue steiging under the leadership of the Rav and Rebbetzin, and may the Ribbono Shel Olam grant them the gezunt to be mamshich in their avodas hakodesh.
Amen.
I thought tonight, in honor of the Siyum, it would be appropriate, we'll talk about, I alluded to it last night, but in Sefer Imrei Mordechai, a lot of my father's Torah, he has about 16 or 17 mamarim on Chanukah. In Maimer Dalid, it's a classic. It was vintage my father. This almost became a trademark of his that he became inseparable with. So I want to open up with something that he learned off of Pshat in the Rambam, and then let's take off from there. We in the family probably heard my father say this explanation in the Rambam hundreds, if not over 1,000 times. It might have very well been his favorite. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph Hilchos Chanukah says, the Rambam, by the way, Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah are together. In the first Halacha, the Rambam gives a very lengthy explanation of what the Yevonim wanted to do to call Yisrael be made by Yesheni. And the Rambam says, V'lo hiniach oisam lasai pataira, which I referred to last night and I will again in about 10 minutes. They did something to get us not to learn. Last night we gave one explanation, tonight we'll give another. Then the Rambam says, what did they also do? Ufashtu yadam b'mamaynam. That was an exact quote of three words. Ufashtu yadam b'mamaynam. I think almost everybody translates the Rambam to mean that they stole our goods, they took away our money, they made us go from riches to rags in a moment. So my father asked, if the Rambam Taka meant that, there are many, many words that you could use to imply that. You could use the word gonvu, gozlu, shololu, bozuzu. They stole, they robbed, they pillaged, they plundered. It is such a unique word to say, ufoshtu yadam b'mamaynam. It literally means they stretched out their hand to our money. Now, hello, did they take it? They robbed? They stole? They took it away? So I just gave you almost six possible words to describe that. What, pray tell, does the Rambam mean that they wanted ufoshtu yadam b'mamaynam? It's a highly unique word. My father brings down three mices, which was unusual, back to back to back that happened with him or his father in our family. And for decades, he would drive home, and he would say it very often to audiences. That's the definition of what the Yevanim wanted to do. So what, pray tell, is Ufashtu Yadam B'mamaynam? Maisa number one actually happened in Pittsburgh. My father's father, my Zaidi, was Rabbi Yosef Shapiro. He was, I don't know if the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rav, met him. Rabbi Yosef Shapiro was my father's father. He was a Rav in Pittsburgh for almost 50 years. If we wanted to dedicate, I could tell you Maisa's, Rabbi Aaron, Zeichet Tzadik, Kodesh Levracha, many, on a number of occasions, I hear my father saying, well, his famous story, he referred to Rabbi Yosef Shapiro, my Zaidi, as the Gresta Masman in Gans America. That is a story in and of itself that's delicious and delectable. It is well known that the Ponovizhe Rav said about my Zaidi, either he's the younger Chofetz Chaim or the Chofetz Chaim of America. That also comes with stories that are mamish, beautiful, beautiful maises. But my Zaidi was a Rav in Pittsburgh almost 50 years. One time he got the following Shaila. There was a Yid that was from, but unfortunately his children did not follow in the way of their father. They were not religious, whereas he was very. And when the man passed away, dutifully, they did sit Shiva, although they weren't religious. When Shiva ended, I kid you not, I'm not embellishing at all. When Shiva ended, the non-religious children, who just sat for their very religious father, called my Zaidi, Rabbi Yosef Shapiro, and asked him the following question. Rabbi Shapiro, our father left a beautiful Kiddush cup, a beautiful Becher. We don't keep Shabbos, we have no use for it. Is it permitted to use his Kiddush cup as an ashtray? Maisa shahoya kachoya. Could give you many times on the tape where my father said over the Maisa from my Zaidi. They wanted to know. We don't want to be disrespectful, but we have no use for it. Could we use the Becher as an ashtray? It would be an elegant ashtray. My father said, that's the definition of ufashtu yadam b'mamaynam. They didn't want to rob or steal. They didn't want to pillage or plunder. You want to keep your wealth? Keep it. You want to make a couple hundred K? Fine. You're worth a few million? Fine. My father's exact lashon in the vernacular, his lashon was so impeccable, for those who remember my father, Moishe Shapiro, he said, they wanted to influence and infiltrate the way we viewed money. What we did with our money. Money is not to be used to buy a Kiddush cup. A Kiddush cup is to be used as an ashtray. It's a myridic and powerful yesod. Keep your money. Ufashtu yadam b'mamayna means to infiltrate and influence the psychology of how a yid uses their God-given talents, their money, their wealth. Maisa number two happened in our came out the second year in Florida, 1972. The end of 72, there was a woman who was making a bar mitzvah for her son. Now she was not, nobody will know who she wasn't part of my father's kehillah, but she must have asked him different questions over the year. My father found out that she was making a bar mitzvah for her son. Again, it had nothing to do with his own kehillah, but he had heard that. So as the bar mitzvah was getting closer, he called the lady to say, Mr. So-and-so, is everything in order with the bar mitzvah? Is there any rabbinic duty I can help you with? Everything is fine. My father said, this is a family, they mamish spared no expense. This is again his exact lashon on the bar mitzvah. I think, I don't want to be megazim, at the time, the bar mitzvah was costing, I don't remember the exact number, you're going back 40 years ago. If I said then it was 100,000, but I don't remember the number, but it was an astronomical sum. My father said to the point she wanted the wines to be perfectly chilled, flown in from Italy, everything should mamish be alzding. My father said, everything's okay, I just want to make sure there's a good kosher pair of tefillin. Quote, end quote. Here it is. In fact, when they had to write it, her first word was, oops. They once wrote that in a Hebrew article, right? Oops, in a Hebrew article. She turned to my father and said, oops, Rabbi Shapiro, I forgot about the tefillin. Do me a favor. You take care of the tefillin. Can you get it? Sure. But please see and exceed. that the price of the tefillin does not exceed $11. Maisa shehoya kahoya. That is, ufoshtu yadam bimamainam. Spend everything on an elaborate simcha, fly in the chilled wine, but don't spend more than $11 on the tefillin. My father was so passionate about this topic. He feels that till today, whenever you use your money, your wealth, your talents, and you abuse them, you might as well chalk one up for the Yevonim and say, Ufoshtu yadam b'mamainam is still alive and well. So now he said, I'll tell you the antithesis. A few years later, my parents are in Eretz Yisrael. They went, and a Shabbos afternoon, I can't get enough of this story. It was a Shabbos afternoon. They were walking in the narrow streets of Mea Shearim, a narrow street, Rehov Chevra Shas, number 72. It started to rain. They needed shelter. An elderly woman comes out from the small apartment, sees the couple, come in to get out of the rain. They obviously are happy to go in. My father said that his heart could not look at the anius in which this lady lived, and if you could call it an apartment. The rain was coming in some places more than cascading in from the ceiling. She had, I guess presumably ready for shalashudis, two rolls like this, two bilkalach, but they had to be rolled in a plastic so that the rain shouldn't splash them. I don't know why she didn't move them to another place, but I'm telling you the mice how it happened. When my father looked at her and said, look at the way, you know, he felt so bad, the rain, she says, she found the Rav Shapiro. Rav Shapiro, was? This is Gishmei Bracha. Gishmei Bracha. Now, it's not the topic for tonight, but if we ever have another chance to get together and meet Bezrus Hashem, we could give an entire shmooze, Advad Bechlal, Ne'es Le'es, on the attitude of being positive. Gishmei Bracha. There's so many people in my community who always walk around when it rains and they want to be farbissin or farblunchin about it. What? Gishmei Bracha. It's, I meet people, I use it on a video. Oh, I use your Gishmei Bracha. I try it. Try it. It works. My father says, you know, he got a lot of shliach mitzvah. People gave money to the Rav to distribute. So he says, can I give you some? And she says, me? I don't need any money. She wouldn't take it, but Shum Pan of Eifen. My father thought, maybe she thought it wasn't kosher gel. So he said, no, I'm a Rav, and it came from Balabatim, it's real, it's just fine money. I don't need the money, she wouldn't take it. As my parents are leaving because the rain stopped, she turned to my father and says, Rav Shapiro, you're still offering the money, yeah? I'll take it. You see, every morning for decades, I daven Vasikin at the Kaisel. And always, the women there have their hands stretched out for tzedakah. And I could never give a shekel, an agurah, nothing to tzedakah. Now, if you'll give me money, I'll for the first time be able to give them tzedakah. So I'll take the money so I can give it to the women when I daven v'sikin at the kaisa. And there, my father says very emotionally, the Yevanim were not successful. That's the antithesis of ufoshtu yadam v'mamayam. And that, he would say, is a challenge of Hanukkah. Take stock of what the Ribbono Shel Olam has given you. The gifts, the wealth, the talent, the seichel. Do you use them, or do you abuse them? Do you use them like the lady on Rehov Chevra Shas, or abuse them like the boys in Pittsburgh, or the lady in the early 70s in Miami? And then, in a beautiful chiddush, my father adds in the sefer, he doesn't say Ula, he says Ken Zayin, that's the pshat. Hanukkah is a minig, but minig Yisrael is kadosh. What's the minig Hanukkah? That we go to our children, some people, we go to our children and we give them Hanukkah gel. It's not, God forbid, to mimic the non-Jewish holidays. We give Hanukkah gel. My father says it could be the mekor of that minhag is to counter ufoshtu yadam b'mamayinam. Give the money and let the child know, with the money you'll give meiser, with the money you'll buy a sefer, with the money you'll buy a game and play with your neighbor. Inculcate and influence and instill in the child the antithesis of ufoshtu yadam b'mamayinam. Ken Zayin, he says, that's the mekor of the minhag of why you give Hanukkah geld. to ingrain in the child the gifts are used l'avoda sabayre. And there's no greater gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. None. I'll repeat that. None. Than the Torah HaKdoshah. What better place to say it than in a shul where that is pretty much the second name, if not the first name, of this Makom Torah Utfilah. Everything is about learning and the Rav asking. I don't want anything, the Rav and Rebbetzin say. The only thing I want is come to another shir. Do something new. Do a little bit more. There's no greater gift that we have to use to our power than ufashtu yadam b'mamaynam. I mentioned to our power than the Torah. I mentioned to you a few moments ago that the Yevonim wanted lashkicham Torah secha. Last night I gave one interpretation. Following the theme that Torah is the greatest gift, my father elsewhere in the Sefer explains, how do you get one to forget their Torah? Not to be, how do you do that to a person? So listen to what my father explains. He used to say a word from Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch. Again, my family will tell you, my mother, Shishlumi, will say, you can't imagine how many countless times my father would tell people, listen to a life-changing word from Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch. Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch would say the following. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the first question that a person is going to be asked after 120 gezunta years, kavati tum la'Torah. Everybody thinks, by the way, parenthetically, it means, did you set aside time to learn? That's not the case. I think it's of Chaim Volozhin and others who say kavata is from the Navi Amos and elsewhere where kavata is from the word hayikba. Hayikba means steal. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask, kavata itam la'Torah. I don't wonder if you set it aside, because if you wait to set it aside, you'll never set it aside. Did you steal it? Because if you don't steal it, it's not going to happen. If Shamshon of Fall Hirsch says that Kavata Itam HaTorah is the following question, it's kedai to open your heart, it's a life-changing question. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to look at me and you and say, Kavata Itam HaTorah, did you establish Itim, the times that you lived in, La Torah, to conform and fit my Torah? Or God forbid, Chalila v'chas, Kavata Torah le'itim. Did you take the Torah and modify it and change it and conform it to fit your lifestyle and your needs? And then after he said that, Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch, my father would take off and he would say, do you know what that kasha means? It's a yid's job to make sure. You don't say to the rebbe, well, you know what climate I lived in? I mean, I would have kept the Torah, but this was my milieu of friends. I mean, these were my neighbors. This was the economic lot I've been given. There are people who are kaveya the Torah le'itim. It's got to fit my lifestyle, my salary, my group of friends, my geographic location. I'm sorry to say these words. He would say, they'll water it down. And they'll remove the reinkite and the emeskite, the Sheven Zayazach, because we have to fit the Torah to fit my lifestyle. The Ribbono Shel Olam won't accept that in his first. You know, I tell my kids all the time. They know I grow up. I don't care how they do on a test. I always tell them two things. Number one, just sign your name. I don't know if they're going to listen to this. I hope not. But I do tell them. Number one, just sign your name. That's good enough for me. And then in the later years, I would tell them, just get the first question right. Nobody wants to get out on the first question. You know, like you can get the other 18 wrong, but a guy's going to feel like a loser. I got the first one wrong. The first question I'm going to be asked is, Kavata Itam HaTorah. Did you take your lifestyle and your friends and the way you grew up and fit it into my Torah? Don't water it down. Don't change it. Don't dilute it. Don't modify it. It's unacceptable. Or Chalila the opposite. And my father would say, that's the pshat. The Yevonim wanted, means that we should be comfortable with watering down the purity of the Torah. And then he would say over a maisa nifla. My father was one of the Talmidim of Hakim of Rav Aaron Zechasadir Kodesh of Racha. Such a great story. Many times he would take Rav Aaron in the car. On one occasion the following happened. They were saying Tfilas HaDerech, Rav Aaron said Tfilas HaDerech. When Tfilas HaDerech ended, this is an exact maisa. If you have the Sefer Mordechai, page 417, Tuf Yud Zayin. He said the Tfilas HaDerech, and then he turned to my father and said, when it says Chayos Ro'os Baderech, wild animals, or Baron said, quote unquote, it refers to the wild drivers, the Vilda drivers, the ones who drive unacceptably. It was funny, last night Taka, we said a maisa with their Baron and also with the car. But my father went back after that trip to his chevra, his closest chaverim, the Gedolei Yisrael of today. They all knew. Reb Aaron didn't say a vitz, he didn't say a light comment. If Reb Aaron said it, then it wallops a punch. So my father turned to his chevra, the future Gedolim, and said, what did the Rosh Hashiva mean? You can't just say over a story without learning a pshat in a maitzah. What's the pshat? So my father told it to his chevra and they went wild from his pshat. What did Reb Aaron mean? He was saying a cute comment. Chayis Reis refers to the Vilda drivers, Chalila. What did Reb Aaron mean? So my father said, here's what the Rosh Hashiva meant. In those days, there were many places that were sending out, you know, like yeshivas will send out their candles or charoises, sometimes in the wrong season, but nonetheless, to support them. In those days, they were sending out like the Tfilas HaDerech cards, and they were being printed by the masses. Many people, not yeshivas, many other groups who did that or printed it in a siddur in Tfilas HaDerech, removed the words Chayos Ro'os Baderech. Why? Come on! That's so antiquated and outdated. When's the last time? Now, yeah, it used to be that you went on the road and you were afraid of getting hit by a water buffalo. Or you were going on in the desert and you had to be worried about camels and poisonous snakes. But now with the advent of the car and different things, highways and superhighways, in other words, they were Mekayim, Kavat the Torah, let's eat them. You gotta, come on, it's so non-applicable. Reb Aaron, of course, said, if there's a Matbeya Shetavu Chachamim, if there is a coin that the Chachamim have authored, that is it. Now it's your job to figure out, and your job to work with the words, and ask yourself, so what are today's Chayos Ro'os? But Chalila, God forbid, to say, it's antiquated, I'll take it out and I'll be Kaveh of the Torah to fit my lifestyle of a super byhighway. My father told his chevra, they said it was Emes Lamita, that what Reb Aaron meant was, we have to be Kaveh our Eitan to the Torah. If there's something that the Chachamim Shtel Vavet in Tfilas HaDerech, Chayos Ro'os Baderech, now it's your job to decide what are the present day Chayos Ro'os. And to that Reb Aaron was answering, it was the Vilna drivers. But my father told his chevra, that's why Reb Aaron did it. Because of course we understand that Reb Aaron represented the ultimate of the reinkheit and the purity of Torah. The ultimate of Kavat Itim La Torah, not just the opposite. You want to take out Chayos Ro'os Baderech because you can't imagine? No, it happened in the 16th century, but not in 1960. Reb Aaron's job is to tell you that Chacham Shtel Vavet, and here's what it is. And there's no greater gift that we have to share with others than the purity of Torah. Before I take it to the final part, may I remind us, there's a famous Gemara from Matzia Pehenk, Subas Kuf Gimel. Again, it's something my father always said. I'm only quoting him so often because Chanukah, there's so many Mamorim in the Sefer. The Gemara says there's a well-known Machlokes Reb Chiya and Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina says that if Torah was forgotten, I'd bring it back with my pilpul. Reb Chiya says that I'll make sure Torah is not, God forbid, forgotten. What would Reb Chiya do? He would go ahead and he would plant seeds and he would work the ground. And after working the ground, he would water it and grow flax. From the flax, he would make a net. And from the net, he would capture a deer. And from the deer, he would go ahead and do shchita. Then he took the meat, which parenthetically, Reb Aaron's word is, why do you have to give the meat to the assignment? What does that have to do with Torah? Reb Aaron himself said, because if you don't have the chesed of giving basar to the assignment, without chesed, you don't have pure Torah. That's Reb Aaron's word. And then he said, you took the cloth, and on one cloth you wrote Pereshis, and another you wrote Zrayim, and another you wrote Bavli, Yerushalmi. You went to the Tinaik Shabbat Yisrael, and you went from city to city, you taught it, and Torah would never be forgotten. Abbas Kol says, Kama Gadol Maisachia. Reb Aaron would always say over, in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Now why did Reb Chiya have to Valgerzech with 20 steps? 20 steps I gave, 10, 15, 20. Go to Walgreens, Reb Aaron didn't say Walgreens, I'm using those words. Go to Walgreens, go to a store, buy a pad of paper, take a Bic pen, and write it down and save yourself 19 steps. Rabbi Aaron always said from the Vilna Gaon, because Torah has to be Shemen Zayazah, without sediments and impediments. It has to be pure. If you want it to have nitzchias, it's not going to have nitzchias if it's impure. It's only going to have nitzchias if it's perfectly, perfectly pure. Memeler Priya Hefevalgazel, with 20 steps to make sure Torah's reign, Torah's pure. You want it to have Amshacha? You want it to be by the grandchildren? There's only one way it happens. Not if you're Kaveh Torah Le'itim, but if you're Kaveh Itim Torah. And that's why Rav Aaron says in the name of the Vilna Gaon, you had to go through all the steps. If my father's actual lashon is, I may use it, to make sure from the very embryonic stages that Torah is perfectly pure. It's the only Torah that will have Nitzchias. That's the greatest gift that we have. And that's the gift that we better make sure we use properly and never in a fashtu yadam v'mamaynam fashion. This is a gift that people are starving for. You know that in Pirkei Avos it says, "Lamadta Torah harbe al tachazik toiv la'atzmacha." I think everybody translates that to mean if you learned a lot of Torah, don't pat yourself on the back. You're not God's gift to the world. You know what the Radomsky Rebbe says? What's the greatest Torah in the world? Torah. In Lamada to Torah Harbe, if you're privileged to be in this shul and you learn a lot of Torah, Al Tachazik Toiva La'atzmacha. Don't keep the good for yourself. Share the wealth. Spread it. There are millions of people who are starving here. I happen to have brothers and sisters. I don't know how well you know my family. I have brothers and sisters. I'm not being facetious. I have brothers and sisters who do not know on Rosh Hashanah you blow a shofar. They don't know on Yom Kippur there's anything wrong with eating. They have no clue what a lulav is from a potato knish. They have no problem eating chametz on Pesach and spending Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Shavuos in Disney World. They're my brothers and sisters. And the Radomsky Rebbe says, if you're privileged to be from those who have learned Torah, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha, you can't keep it to yourself. Spread the mishmar to 10 shuls in the tri-state area. And that's the greatest gift that we can have to spread to people. Just, it comes from reaching out and loving that person. I'm a little embarrassed with the first, not that I'm embarrassed, it's painful to hear the first part of the story. There were Bochrim 40, 45 years ago that were into making prank phone calls. Bogus phone calls. If you know what that is, don't do it. And if you don't know what that is, then don't listen to this story. But they made prank phone calls. They took it to an unacceptable level. And they were calling Gedolim and Meirei Hayra to ask fake halacha questions. It was one boy's turn to call Reb Moshe. And he called at 11:30 at night. The Rebbetzin said that Reb Moshe was sleeping. Should I wake him? And the boy answered yes. Reb Moshe comes to the phone. He hears that it's a halakhic question. And so he says, let me first wash my hands. He does. He comes back and he says, ask. And the boy asks a bogus question on the prank call. Reb Moshe says to him, where do you learn? The boy didn't want to answer. He didn't want to get in trouble. Rabbi Moshe said, I won't get you in trouble. Tell me where you learn, he told him. He said to the boy, what Gemara are you learning? The boy didn't know what Gemara he was learning. It's a miracle he knew which Baba it was. He answered Rabbi Moshe, what Doc told him. He said, let me ask you a question on Tosis on that page. Do you understand the kash I have on Tosis? He asked it. The boy didn't, kash on Tosis. He understood where he was holding in his life. Who had the patience of Rabbi Moshe? Rav Moshe didn't get a Gemara, yet, line by line, word by word, the entire Amud Gemara Rashi, he taught it. He said to the boy, do you understand it now? And the boy said, no. Like Rav Preda, Rav Moshe taught it a second time, and then a third time. And after the hour, he said to the boy, after word by word, line by line, now do you understand the Gemara? He says, yeah. He re-asks the question from an hour ago, and the boy says, that's a great question. He says, here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow when you go to shir, ask if you're ready. Bahia yoim there in shir, the boy never raised his hands for anything meaningful. Now he raises his hand, the Rebbe says, what do you want? He asks the kasha on Tosfos. The Rebbe says, that's unbelievable. Where'd you get that kasha from? He says, Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe mutzered on the kasha the remainder of the week. Thursday in Shir, he came back and he gave the boy a scintillating answer. He said, I want you to know, I mutchered and I mutchered and I harved on the kasha for a week. That night the boy came home. I obviously cannot tell you who he is. That night the boy came home and he went to his room and cried. And when his parents entered the room and asked him why he was crying, he said to his parents, Tati, Mami, I'm ready to go back to real learning in yeshiva. I'm ready. And they asked him what happened. And he said, Reb Moshe believed in me. Reb Moshe took the time and the patience for an hour to believe in me. And if Reb Moshe believed in me, then I believe in myself. And I'm ready to start learning. And today this young man, I know it sounds like an ending of many stories, is a very prominent Magid Shir in a yeshiva gedolah in the tri-state area. Why? Because he'll tell you, when I needed it the most, Reb Moshe, the busiest man in the world, took time for me, showed me love, perseverance, and patience. And if he believes in me, I believe in myself. And he said, I'm turning my life around. And that's the gift that we have to defeat the Yavanim. To believe that I can reach out to all those brothers and sisters I told you about. The Rav said, I don't want anything. And the Rav told me earlier today, the Rav said, I don't want anything. You know what he wants? Another shir, another learning. That's all. In fact, last year, the Rav said the same thing. I came back and I told my wife, you have to know, very impressed by the whole Shabbos. But most, that the Rav and Revitzin said they don't want, that's all that they want. In fact, I just came up again to tell you the truth. I just found out a week or two ago that at an upcoming dinner, my shul in North High Beach wants to honor me. So I figured it was a great time. I used the line again. My wife said, they're going to ask you, what do you want? So I said, all I want is, now I don't know if I want them to hear this, but I said, all I want is that they should make, I don't want it, I just want to see Mashiach. That's such a great, where'd you get it from? I said, that's Rabbi Reisman's answer. And he uses it, and he means it. And halavai, we should all mean it. I just want to end with a quick vort from the Slonim Rebbe and one Maisa, and that's it. I think that the vort encapsulates, in my opinion, what the Rav asked earlier as his bakasha. Everybody knows the Pasuk in Navi we sing in our Rosh Hashanah, HaBen Yaakov Ephraim. Granted, I probably like it a little bit more than most because of my first name. I have a special attachment to it. But what are the words, HaBen Yaakov Ephraim? Im Yelech Hashuim, Ki Midei Dabri Bar Yizachar Eskerenu Adrachim HaRechemenu Num Hashem. Listen to a vort from the Halei Slonim Rebbe, beyond. The Slonim Rebbe says that, Al Pidrush homiletically, this Pasuk is interpreted as a conversation that the Rebbeinu Shaloylam is listening to that Klal Yisrael has on the corner of what is this, S and 22nd. Here's how it goes. The Rebbeinu Shaloylam says, HaBen Yaakov Ephraim, in Yelet Shashuim, Klal Yisrael, you are precious to me beyond. Why? Says the Rebbeinu Shalom according to the Slonim Rebbe Al Pidrush. Ki Midei Dabri, because when I listen in to this world, Essen 22nd in North Miami Beach, Ki Midei Dabri, and I want to hear, what are you even talking about? What are they schmoozing around already? Politics, sport, what are they talking about already? What does the Rebbeinu Shalom hear? That one yin turns to the other and says, Zohar, are we doing enough to remember Hashem? Are we doing enough in our shiurim? And he hears the other yid respond, Eskirenu oid! We gotta do so much more. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, that's the way you're talking? Then here's my response. Rachem! You think I had compassion on you until now? Arachamenu Hashem. I'll have much more compassion and I'll bring the Bayis Shlishi. And I think tonight's Malava Malka is all about oid. It's all about the Rebbeinu Shalom seeing a couple hundred people, one say to the other, Zohar, are we talking doing enough? Doing enough shiurim and not, are we doing enough? And the Rav really, when he spoke earlier, said, Eskenenu oid, all I want is, do more. And when the Rebbeinu Shalom sees that, he says, Rachem, arachamenu num Hashem. I'll show you the ultimate rachamim. Unless you wonder if your oid, your little bit more, is meaningful or inconsequential, I'll just end with a maisa that happened with the Kirov organization, Leiv La'achim. That in the a part of Eretz Yisrael there was a kail couple working for Leiv La'achim, powerhouse couple. They had a large family, and unfortunately their 3-year-old Yingala, in the morning he had his upshare and he went to cheder that day. As the day progressed, he wasn't feeling well, and late in the afternoon, unfortunately, suddenly their 3-year-old was nifter. In fact, when I recently said this maysa in Muncie in front of someone who knows the family very well, he actually told me, it's a very sad line to hear, that in Eretz Yisrael they say about the three-year-old in the morning he was wrapped in a talus because so that the eyes, when you go to cheder, the Shmir Seinayim, the eyes should only see purity, you wrap a three-year-old in a talus in Eretz Yisrael. When they were master the boy, they said in the morning he was in a talus and in the evening he was in a talus. Now listen to the maysa. The family's sitting shiva, and the man gets a phone call. He's surrounded by 25 men or so. He gets a phone call. He comes back. He's very emotional. What's the call? He's still sitting shiva with his three-year-old. He says, I'm in the middle of being makar of eight boys. None of them keep Shabbat. None. One of the eight just called saying he's representing the other seven. Rabbi, I want you to know, we heard what happened to your three-year-old. We know that you're sitting shiva. This Shabbat, that's the way he speaks, the eight of us are going to keep in memory of your three-year-old. She was very emotional. One of the people, I don't know if you could imagine, but sometimes in a shiva home, people don't say the most brilliant things. Hard to imagine. One of the people turns to the rabbi and says, it's really nice, but I mean, is it such a big deal? Meaning, they'll keep this week Shabbos, but then they'll probably buzz out. They won't keep it again. So is it really such a big deal, one Shabbos and then out? Our friend leans forward and says, you want me to answer that question if they're going to keep one Shabbos, is it a big deal? Listen here, my friend. Do you know what my wife and I would do to get our three-year-old back for one Shabbos? Do you know what my wife and I would do for my wife to see my three-year-old by Yom Zemuchov and bounce on my knee one more Shabbos? Do you know what I would do to hold his hand and have him squeeze his hand when I bring him home from shul? Do you know what we would give up to have our son back one Shabbos? Ask my wife. We'd give up everything to have him back one Shabbos. And now the Ribbono Shel Olam is getting back eight children for one Shabbos. And you don't think it's a big deal? Go in the kitchen and ask my wife. She'll tell you it's a big deal. And whenever we do something that's oid, the Ribbono Shel Olam is made so happy that another yid, another child, is doing something. It's never inconsequential. It's meaningful beyond words. May it be the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam that as we approach Chanukah, ufashtu yadam b'mamayinam be a thing of the past, and let it be replaced with, like that woman said, gishmei bracha, where we use gifts and we don't abuse them. And there's no talent and gift that we were given bigger than not just the Torah HaKdoshah, but the reign of pure Torah. The Torah that Rav Aaron said from the Vilna Gaon to have Hemshech HaDoros has to be pure Torah. Spread the wealth. Let the whole world learn from this shul. Let everybody in this community and other communities learn from the shul and learn from the Rav and Rebbetzin and learn from a mishmar and learn from another shir and learn from a yardeya shir and learn from a matzah Shabbos number. You learn from it. Let it change the world. Let everybody take something upon themselves. Let it be, oy, a little bit more. And if you think it's not a big deal, it's just one shir, one thing, I'll tell you about the couple in Leiv Lachem. It's a big deal. And in that schus, that everybody continue to appreciate and to learn from the Rav and Rebbetzin, and continue to be Marbitz Torah to Gantz Klal Yisrael, which is what the Rav Shlita does. May all of us, as Talmidim of the Rav, lead a lives of Oid. Spread the greatest gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam sees Oid, let us merit, Hashem will say, Rachem, Arachamenu. You want the biggest Rachamim? You'll be Zoicha now to light the Menorah in the Bayis Shlishi, B'mheir and B'yameinu. A good to have. A good to have.